Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
The WWE moving truck has spent the past 2 weeks driving across America. Jeff Gordon kicked it off in Charlotte, and it stopped in 16 cities across the country, including the Vikings game last weekend. So Friday, it will arrive in LA for the huge premiere of Friday Night SmackDown on Fox. And guys, we already knew Friday has a star-studded lineup for the debut of SmackDown featuring Hulk Hogan and more. But the big announcement from yesterday, Dwayne The Rock Johnson will also be there. That's a big deal. I cannot wait for that. So we're going to switch gears now to Tom Brady and the Patriots. It is no secret that the Patriots defense has been outstanding so far. New England leads the league in points per game allowed, yards per game allowed, interceptions, and sacks. Tom Brady was held 150 passing yards against the Bills and still got the win last night. Brady had high praise for his defense. Take a listen.
Our defense is playing great football. The best football I can ever remember our defense playing, which has been really spectacular to watch. And we're all excited about the way that they're playing.
Shannon, what do you make of Brady saying this?
Brady is stating the obvious. If I'm not mistaken, a guy named Shannon Sharp that has a pinstripe suit and a bow tie on today, sat across from that guy over there named Skip Bayless. Well, Skip Sharp sometimes, it all depends on a given day who he wants to be. I said that. And Skip said, I don't know about all that. But it seems to me, Skip, that this is how... Yeah, sorry about that, Jenny.
It's okay.
I believe that Brady is realizing that this year, Skip, they're going to win a large share of their games with the defense. Now, Skip Bayless said, when Aaron Rodgers says, I finally have a defense, Skip said Brady was finally admitting, acknowledging he couldn't do it anymore. Is that what your guy doing? See... The problem that I have with a lot of people is that they've Brady, while refusing to acknowledge just how great his defenses have been. In Brady's 19 seasons as a starter, only three times in those 19 years has he had a defense finish outside of the top 10 in scoring. Three times in 19 seasons. In 40 playoff games, Skip Bayless, did you know this? In the fourth quarter, his defense is allowing less than a touchdown a game in 40 playoff games. In 13 of that 40, almost a third, they've given up 0 points. Can I interest you in the Super Bowl last year? Can I interest you in the Super Bowl against the Legion of Boom? Can I interest you in the Super Bowl against the Falcons? Can I interest you in the AFC Championship game in which they gave up 3 points to the Jag? That's what Tom Brady has played with basically his entire career as a starter. You minimize that, but it's a great luxury to have. I'm not casting, because I know what Tom Brady is. I know what he represents, but I also know what he's playing with. And he's playing with this. Now, for me, Skip, it's hard for me to really say just how good this defense is, because I think you will even agree with this. He's played against some crappy offenses. You know, I think we can all agree with that. I think Buffalo, Miami, the Jets, Pittsburgh, whatever's going on with their, I mean, they're trying to figure it out. But let's just be honest. They played terrible defenses, offenses, and we don't know if they're going to even face. They got Washington, they got the Giants, they got the Jets again. So we still are a ways away before they play what we would consider, you know, really good offenses. So time will tell. But over Brady's career, he's historically had really, really good scoring defenses. And that's how you win. You can get all these numbers. Well, they don't sack the quarterback, or they don't hit the quarterback, or they don't pick passes. At the end of the day, you win games by scoring more and giving up fewer than your opponent. And no one has scored more, but I can assure you, no one has given up fewer points in Brady's tenure than the Patriots D. Brady's stating the obvious, what I've been trying to tell you all along.
So you opened your, I think it was 8.5 minutes soliloquy. It was somewhere way back. I lost track. But you open up by saying, somebody told you so. this Patriot defense is all-time, all-time.
No, I didn't say no. Yeah. I didn't say no all-time, all-time.
That's where you're heading.
No, it wasn't.
But then you backed out of that, and you said, well, but.
I said they're good. We don't know just how good, because we thought the Packers were good in the first three games until.
So, you shamed me for three straight weeks. You said the Cowboys have played nobody.
Yes.
The Patriot defense has played nobody. And we're elevating them. We're crowning them. We're immortalizing this defense. I think Tom Brady's laying it on a little thick because he knew he had to eat a little humble pie for his team's sake to say, well, this might be the best defense I've ever played with in New England. And yet, to your point, I'm going to go a little deeper into your point. Opening night, Ben Roethlisberger tried to play with a torn ligament in his elbow. They said it wasn't Tommy John. Well, there are two ligaments in your elbow. There's the ulnar collateral and there's the radial collateral. So he didn't tear the ulnar, I guess, because that's Tommy John surgery. Right. So the other one got torn because did you see him last night on the sideline? He had a big old cast on, didn't he?
And they don't put those on for no reason.
They don't. He had full-on reconnective rupture surgery in one of the ligaments in his elbow.
Yes.
And I don't know which one, but he tried to throw with it on opening night. And I'm opening Sunday night.
Correct.
And I came in here on Monday and I said, Shannon, I don't even recognize that guy. He looked like he couldn't throw it 7 yards, right?
And when he did throw it, it was way off.
And then he tried to go against Seattle and he lasted about a series. And he said, he was pointing to his elbow. He said, I just can't throw. Right. He tore his ligament. I don't know how he did it. I've never heard of a quarterback tearing his ligament the way a baseball pitcher does because the baseball pitch is unnatural, and usually the football throw, when you turn your thumb under, is natural.
Right.
Right? Usually you don't – how many ruptures have you heard of elbows?
I've never heard of one.
Well, I don't know what happened, but Patriots caught quite a break on opening night because they got to play against a quarterback whose QBR that night was 18, scale of 0 to 100. Then, at Miami, they got Ryan Fitzpatrick, and then they got a little bit of Josh Rosen. Ooh. Ryan Fitzpatrick's QBR that day was 3 on a scale of 0 to 100, and Josh Rosen came on and threw 18 more passes and a QBR of 5. Yikes. Had something to do with the defense, but might have had a whole lot to do with the quarterback,
with those two,
right?
Yes.
Then, Jets come to New England with the immortal Luke Falk at quarterback. They're, what are we down to? Third-string quarterback.
Third. Yeah.
And he had a QBR that day of 8 on a scale of 0 to 100. And then that leads us to Josh Allen and giving way to Matt Barkley after he got dinged. And you said yesterday on the show that a one-cell amoeba could play quarterback better than either of those two quarterbacks.
Yes.
One-cell amoeba. Yeah. And one of the amoebas had a QBR of 9 and the other amoeba had an 11.
Wow.
So, if I add up all the QBRs for the year, the average is 11 quarterbacks have achieved on a scale of 0 to 100 against this Patriot defense. And, of course, it's doubled everybody in interceptions, and it's tied for first in sacks. But when I look at the quality of opposition, it's bottom of the barrel.
It is.
I mean, it's just like break after break after break. And as you point out, they continue to get breaks because their first test really isn't until – October 27th, when Baker Mayfield and Odell and Jarvis is healthy by then.
Chubb,
they visit, and maybe that's your first test, October 27th. Then they go to Lamar Jackson. That's something of a test. I don't know if it's full on, but then they have to go to Carson Wentz. That'll be a test. I'll give you that one. Then Dak visits. We'll see about that. You say he's way overrated.
No. He got to win that game.
Yeah, okay.
Now, if he wins that game, now, Skip, I might have to come in here with a Cowboys jersey on.
Okay.
I'm going to go in that.
Did we just have a vow, a promise?
No, we're not going that far. Yeah. Hold on just a second.
I don't think you would have anything to worry about on that game because I don't think they can win up there. But then the Patriots go to Deshaun Watson, and he has played very well against them in the past, but not this year. So I don't know if they can protect him at all. And then December 8th is obviously Patrick Mahomes at Foxborough, so that will be a test.
Right.
So I look at this defense, and it's basically the same unit as last year, except the kids in the secondary are growing up, right?
Right.
Except that they lost Trey Flowers and they lost Malcolm Brown from the pass rush. So I don't know, is it really as good as it was? I don't know, because I'm going to remind you, last year, this same unit with Trey Flowers and with Malcolm Brown at Jacksonville gave up 31 points and 414 yards to Blake Bortles' offense, right? 26 points at Detroit and 40 to Mahomes, obviously, and 44. 441 yards, 31 points at Chicago and 453 yards by Mitchell Trubisky, 34 points at Tennessee. You just ridiculed him for that. 34 at Miami, including 412 total yards, and the Miami miracle that cost them home field advantage and forced them to go to Kansas City, where Tom Brady was extraordinary once again.
Right.
But that defense was hit and miss. It took a while once it started to sort of come together.
But I think the thing, Skip, but Tom is looking at it. Tom is not doesn't break the defense down like you and I do. I mean, when I was
I'll bet he does in the back of his mind. He wouldn't say so publicly.
But for me, Skip, when I was on that Ravens defense, and to this day is still giving up the fewest points, 165
points.
Well,
you practice against
them. Yeah, but I wasn't thinking like, man, that was a I just thought they made everybody look bad. And when you look back at it, they did. Because they were knocking quarterbacks out left and right. I mean, they didn't have any choice but to play the third quarterback because they had knocked the first two out.
Yep.
So Tom is like, But
surely you practiced and you were saying, these guys were hard.
Yeah. In training camp, I knew they were special.
Because you had, Trent Dilfer throwing?
Yeah. Because okay. we started with Tony Banks.
Yep.
And then we couldn't score a point for five. We didn't score an offensive touchdown for five straight weeks, and we won three of those ball games.
Huh.
But let that sink in. Wow.
It's impossible.
Couldn't score one.
We didn't score one offensive touchdown, and we won three of those ball games.
Wow.
And then they made the switch. So, you can see, Skip, how special they were. I was like, if we give them 10 points, 14 points, we could be really special. But, I mean, Skip, what they've given up, 27 points total?
And they've played nobody.
They haven't.
Okay, they haven't. So it's one of those years, and you asked me Friday, do you really think they could go 16-0? Yeah. Well, I don't know. With this schedule and the way it's breaking and the breaks they're getting, I mean, injuries tend to even out. I'm knocking on wood for everybody.
The key is going to be Tom's health.
Yeah, okay.
The key is going to be his health.
And as Eric Mangini suggested on the show yesterday, he's fighting with some calf injury that seemed to take away whatever tiny bit of mobility that he did have.
Yeah.
Skip, I say this all the time, and people like, you know, they think it's your arm or your shoulder, but it's your legs. Even with pitchers, you can't drive, Skip. And with quarterbacks, it's the lower half. You can't drive. And that's everything. That's how he generates everything.
That is true. That is a very good point. Yep. And if it's his right calf, he can't push.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well.
Okay. Tom Brady. You never know with that guy. Hopefully nothing too serious.
No mercy.
Hey, football fans, are you an Amazon Prime member? Did you know that you have Thursday Night Football? Yeah, that's right. Thursday Night Football has returned to Prime Video for a third season. The cool thing is, you can catch all the action on your TV, on the web, or on your mobile device anywhere in the world. And the experience is next level. With Prime Video's X-ray feature, you can access next-gen stats, play history, and team information. And now it's available on iOS, Android, Fire tablets, and Fire TV. If you're ready to hear a new take on the game, you can switch over to sport broadcast legends Hannah Storm and Andrea Kramer for the play-by-play. So, if you don't have cable or simply want to experience the future of football, tune in this Thursday. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern and kickoff is at 8:20 p.m. Eastern. Also available on Fox and NFL Network. NFL Network simulcast subject to change. Thursday Night Football is presented by Bud Light Platinum.
No mercy.
The race for the Heisman is as close as ever right now. Tua Tagovailoa is leading the way after passing for over 400 yards, 6 touchdowns last weekend against Mississippi. Jalen Hurts is right behind Tua, however. Hurts also had a huge weekend with over 300 passing yards in the first half alone. Hurts racked up 70 yards on the ground as well. And I got to see that one firsthand, guys.
Yep.
So joining us now, Fox Sports college football analyst Reggie Bush. Yeah. We are happy to have you, but Skip.
Let's see if Reggie's seen the light.
I do want to start with you on this one. We'll get to Reggie in a sec. Yeah. In your opinion, Skip, who has the lead in the Heisman race right now?
I realize it is still early, but clearly, obviously, Jalen Hurts is leading Tua in the Heisman race. And here's why. Jalen Hurts has accounted for 435 total yards per game. That is extraordinary to Tua's 353. Jalen Hurts leads the nation in QBR scale 0 to 100 with a 99 to Tua's 96. Jalen Hurts in passing yards per attempt has gone completely bombs away because passing yards per attempt is 15.2 to Tua's 11.6. Wow, that's quite a gap there. And now I'm going to close the case because Jalen Hurts leads the nation in yards per rush, a quarterback. 9.43 yards per rush. That's like Reggie Bush at USC kind of stuff. Did you have numbers like that? I think you
Something
did.
Something like that.
Something like that, right? 9.43 yards per rush. But most of all, I'm going eye test here because I cannot recognize the Jalen Hurts now who once got yanked at halftime of the national championship game against Georgia by Nick Saban because this guy, whose throwing ability was supposedly a liability under Coach Saban, that's now a strength under Lincoln Riley because he can really throw the football. He can throw it short and intermediate, and he can definitely throw it deep because that's about all he does. He commands this offense in ways that Baker commanded it and then Kyler commanded it. He does it with poise. He does it with supreme confidence. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to think that guy who went in that first half against Georgia 3 for 8 for 21 yards. And remember, Baker Mayfield had just gone in the first half of the semifinal game. Remember the one at the Rose Bowl? Mm-hmm. Baker had thrown for 200 yards in the first half against that same Georgia defense. Well, all of a sudden, I'm starting to think if you give a very good quarterback to Lincoln Riley, he can transform him into a pro quarterback. Because to me, Jalen Hurts is starting to look like he can play in the National Football League. And I never would have said that. Wow. Under Lane Kiffin and Coach Saban or whoever, Sarkisian, whoever you want to say, yeah. at Alabama. So right here, right now, he is leading my Heisman race.
Well, it kind of sounds like what you're talking about is the new Jalen Hurts we're seeing, right? It's almost this feel-good story. And I think that's the one thing that Jalen Hurts will have over Tua is the comeback story, right? Mm-hmm. The redemption. We've never seen this.
We've never seen this happen before.
And I love what I saw from Jalen Hurts, and I do agree with you. I think now the Jalen Hurts we're seeing can play in the NFL. And the one thing I've said just before that I worry about is that he's not going to have Lincoln Riley the rest of his career, yeah. right? Because when he gets to the NFL, you have to worry about some coach trying to make him a different style quarterback and not using him the same way that Lincoln Riley is using him right now. But as it stands today, after this past weekend, I think Tua's in the lead.
Tua.
Because 7 touchdowns. I mean, he threw 6, rushed for 1. Jalen Hurts had 415. Tua's 418. Tua just looks like a man on a mission right now, bro. Mm. Like, he really does. He looks like a man on a mission. Mm. And it doesn't matter who he throws the ball to. Henry Huggs, Jerry Judy. This past weekend was Devontae Smith. Had 5 touchdowns.
Oh. And he's a third receiver.
He's a third receiver with 5 touchdowns. Mm.
Yeah.
And so.
And he brought up Waddle. Right. Waddle starting anywhere else in the country.
Najee Harris. Like, all these guys. I mean, they got their second or third streams could probably go be starters on most other college programs.
Well, that
right?
means he's got a big advantage over Jalen.
Whoa, right? Hold on. Is CeeDee Lamb any good?
He's pretty good.
What about Charles?
Wait. Is he Judge Judy though? No, seriously. Is CeeDee? Guess what? Mel Kiper's got Jerry Judy going number one overall.
Overall. Hold on. What about Charles Durambo? Because if I'm not mistaken, he caught a touchdown last year against Alabama in the semifinal game.
He did.
So is he any good?
Is that a great throw?
Exactly.
Just a little flick of the wrist.
You know how I feel. I don't even know why we're having this discussion. Can I interest you in this? 76% completion, 344 yards passing.
Wait. Jalen's 78% completion.
Okay.
Can I interest you in that?
Okay.
I don't know.
What about 23 tubs and 0 picks?
Okay.
Give me Jalen's stats.
12-1, but he runs 12-1.
Okay. Yep. How many? Okay.
So he's rushed for 5.
So, 5. Yeah. So that's 17. He's still behind us 11 to. He's still behind us 8.
I mean, every time I look up, some Alabama receiver's taking a 4-yard pass going 74 yards
And every time every time I look up, I see CeeDee Lamb or Charleston Rambo 25 yards behind the
wide open.
And there's a reason why. And there's a reason why Jalen Hurts looks different. Can you imagine if Tua was in the Big 12 with his pinpoint accuracy? Can you just imagine, Skip, everybody in the Big 12, from Graham Harrell to the head coach, what's the head coach at
Kingsbury?
Skip everybody through for 13,000 yards in the Big 12 and could have a cup of coffee in the NFL. Yeah. So what does that tell you?
Has Baker Mayfield had a cup of coffee?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Is Kyler having a cup? I think he's having a couple of cups.
Kyler, wish he had to go, we took the A's money. He's like, I should have took the A's money and stayed. Because, boy, they put that thing on him. Skip, look here. Tua is throwing the ball in the tight windows. Year after year, the best players come out of the SEC. Year after year after year after year. And guess what? five of the top 10 teams are in the SEC.
Really?
So Tua's going to have to face Auburn. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to play LSU. Mm-hmm. Now he
wait a second. My team, Vanderbilt, hung almost 40 on LSU's defense.
Did you see Joe Burrow throw for 67?
Okay, but that's like Big 12 stuff.
Hey, Oliver, do Tua play Vanderbilt? Because remember last time you were talking about, we want Bama. Bring up Bama.
I do remember that.
Be careful what you ask for.
Exactly. It's good. Look.
That was Tua's coming out party.
And I agree. Jalen Hurts has an unbelievable story.
Yeah.
A guy starts twice in the national title game, leaves and finds redemption against a team that didn't think he could do it. Mm. Skip, that's an all-time great story. Hollywood couldn't write a story like this.
He and the guy who beat him out, or they're engaged in the Heisman race, right?
And
it's impossible.
And we could possibly get this in a semifinal or a national title game.
It's crazy.
This is better than any movie that Hollywood could script. Mm-hmm.
I would agree. That's why he's leading.
No.
Because it's meant to be.
Because look.
I actually wrote the script last summer, and now it's coming true.
We do know sports. Yeah. After being in this business, sports is about narratives. It's about stories. Uh-huh. Now, Jalen Hurts does have the best story. Mm-hmm. But as far as who's playing the best right now,
I don't know. I think I just made a stronger case than yours.
The one thing that I look at for Tua is that I think he has more opportunities for bigger wins. Like you mentioned, LSU,
Auburn,
Texas A&M. Auburn, if he can put up those kinds of numbers on those teams, I think it's a shoe-in because Jalen is not going to – he only has one more ranked opponent he's going to face. That's Texas,
There'll be two.
That's the Red River
Texas
rivalry
twice.
That we'll be at.
It'll be twice.
Texas twice. Yeah. But then Alabama's going to play in the SEC championship game, so you can have to play somebody else.
Yeah. You could possibly have to do this against LSU, Auburn, Georgia, or Florida.
Yeah.
That's what you possibly have to – so Skip, I mean, the dude is at 23 touchdown passes.
That's ridiculous. Mm.
He could somewhere be around 50 and two interceptions. Mm. How do you say, you know what, you got 50 touchdowns, two interceptions with 4,000 yards, but you're not the Heisman Trophy winner this year?
You know why?
They did it to Dwayne Haskins last year. He had 50.
As Jenny will attest, Oklahoma's deep at running back. Yeah. Trey Sermon is serious business. Kennedy Brooks can really tote the rock.
Yes. Yeah.
This guy is the best running back on this team. Yeah. Jalen Hurts is. I'm serious.
He's the running back. You're right.
He is. Yeah. I've never seen anything like it. But he runs strong.
But if you notice, I believe Coach Saban has instructed Sarkisian not to use Tua because, remember, he got hurt running the football. Yep. And they've made a conscious effort, Skip. They don't run him. He run as an absolutely, absolutely last resort. Mm-hmm. He's throwing the ball away. They get close to him. He's throwing that ball away. He's getting out of there, Skip. They're not calling any design runs like they would last year. Remember he had that broken play LSU that really broke the game open? Mm-hmm. They're not having that. Mm-hmm. He relied on them wideouts. Ooh, Skip. Mm-hmm. Jerry Jeudy, as you mentioned, he was the Biletnikoff Award winner. Mm-hmm. Ruggs has been their best receiver.
Yeah.
And then Devontae Smith, who caught the game-winning touchdown in the national title game,
went
limp for 274 and five tugs.
Loaded.
And
big,
then we got
big advantage, Tua.
So you tried to make it seem like CeeDee Lamb a chump.
Although Rambo's so good, they made a movie about him.
It's
unbelievable.
He got,
he loves that. He's like, got not a cool bad nickname, name. Is it?
He got the coolest name, Charles the Rambo.
He said everyone used to joke with him. Is that really your name? He's like, yeah, this is my real name. It's not a nickname.
Charles the Rambo.
Something Jalen said to me, guys, last week, he said, I was never able to show my full potential where I was last. He doesn't like to talk about Alabama. You thought Tua was on a mission? Yeah. This guy, he is driven to prove everyone.
But that is true. That is true, though, because now we are seeing Jalen. I mean, now we're seeing Jalen unleashed something that Nick Saban couldn't do with him. Yeah. When he was in Alabama, he was asked to be a game manager.
He was, and he acknowledges that.
Nick
Saban's
going to regret this before it's over.
I mean, what I'm talking about? What quarterback have you seen in the Big 12? Forget Kansas, Kansas State. What quarterback have we not seen put up big numbers?
Yeah.
Rear Greer, it doesn't matter.
All of them.
It doesn't matter the program. It doesn't matter the player. Name a quarterback, regardless of program, that hasn't put up big numbers in that conference.
Well, I mean, some of the lesser lights.
Bring that thing to the Big 12. I mean, to the SEC and see what did we do for you.
What did I tell you every week last year? I said, Kyler Murray is coming. And you said, no, Heisman's over. You declared it over.
It would have been over if Tua hadn't got hurt. Mm. But, Skip, you got to realize. Mm. The guy was done playing at halftime. He was done. Didn't play, threw two passes the whole year in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Come on! And Kyler Murray playing the whole game. Mm. Can you imagine? But see, he's going to have to play now. because the defense is not what it used to be, and they're going to be involved in some shootouts. So they're going to be a lot of games where Tua throw 5, 6, 7 touchdowns. Yeah. So legitimately, he could get 50, 55 tubs.
Really?
Okay. Well, I think you guys.
I'm feeling good about my. I'm feeling good about my.
Reggie and I, because that game, Red River, facing Sam Ellinger. We always talk about defining moments. That could be a big one for Jalen.
I got you on this.
Yeah. Either way.
Three in a row.
This is good. Okay.
Three in a row.
Reggie, thank you for joining us as always. No mercy.
You got your bling bling. You dripping out there. Got skill ball.
They call me Drip Bayless.
Yo, they know what they call you. Yeah. Oh, that's what they call you. That. Drip.
Yeah, that's what they call me on Twitter. I don't know.
You Drip Bayless now.
I don't follow anybody.
Oh, so I guess now you want Lil Weezy to get you what they got Drip Bayless on there.
He just texted me that we look good.
Yeah.
Thanks to him.
So thanks, Dwayne. Do you want another chain with Drip on it instead of Skip? You want it to say Drip?
This is all I need.
Okay.
I'm good.
You may remember that moment from a couple of weeks ago, the origination of Drip Bayless, which took over the internet for the entire weekend and took Skip Street Cred to new levels. Are you filming this right? Joining us now live in studio with a little surprise, the one and only Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, and you just don't stop because you just don't quit. Don't stop, don't quit, get a grip. Big Snoop Dogg coming through with the drip. Skip Bayless, Shannon don't understand it. Let me drop it, don't pop it, and stop it, because you know what got the topic to talk about, no doubt. Hitting you with the drip, Snoop Dogg's in the house.
Oh. Wow! Oh, yeah. Well done!
Lovely.
Thank you.
Lovely.
That was amazing.
Oh. You did?
Thank you. What are these?
Drip Bayless, baby.
Look at this.
Got you some shirts.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, we're going mass production on those right now.
You know what? I think I should just walk off this set and call it a day. I have reached the pinnacle. I have been immortalized by the immortal one, Snoop.
You earned that,
thank
Skip.
You.
Drip
thank
me,
you.
You
I'm honored beyond honored. And it all started thanks to our man Lil Wayne, because he gave us all these. I only wear mine on Friday.
That's cold.
But you got one, and you got one.
I wear mine every day. Oh, Drip Bayless. Look at
I'm done. I have arrived.
Okay, thank you for that lovely performance.
Yeah, now,
Skip is going to be feeling real confident. Should we get to the game last night?
Yeah, how
about obviously, we've got to talk about your guys. The Steelers entered last night with no Big Ben and no wins on the season. That quickly changed against the division rival Cincinnati Bengals. The Steelers took a 7-3 lead in the second quarter and didn't look back. The defense sacked Andy Dalton 8 times, and the Steelers went on to win 27-3. So, Snoop, how much hope did last night give you with your Steelers?
That was a 40-ounce of hope. That was a 40-ounce of hope right there, baby.
I agree.
And I'm going to tell you, my defense looked it amazing last night. I know it was the Bengals. You know, hey, it ain't my fault. They looked good out there. They was flying around, making plays. I mean, they was active, and I love that. And I like the offense, too. I like the way Mason Rudolph was moving around. I like the way that we put in a wildcat and just threw you off a little bit to give you something to think about by having our backs be elusive and, you know, giving you a little bit more than the usual.
I've been trying to tell this man, Devin Bush is a blue blood stud.
He's a monster.
Stole him in the first round. His daddy played with Derrick Brooks at Florida State, and he's a great kid, and he's going to be a great football player. You could see what
was
happening.
He got a lot of motor.
He's got a lot of motor and a lot of impact with that motor.
I mean, you proud of that last night. You saw what Cincinnati put on.
But I said that earlier. You heard what I said. It ain't my fault. I can't coach my team and your team.
But moving forward,
right?
How do you feel about the Steelers moving forward?
I think the game versus the Ravens is going to really show us what we're about.
This Sunday.
And I'm glad that it's happening right now.
Yep.
Because it's the bounce back. If we really want it, we got to go take it right now. They just lost. We just won. So we both at a standstill right now. But I think we're going to come through.
What did you see from Mason Rudolph? Because I will say this. I saw him throw 16 balls to his two backs, and they caught all 16 of them, and that was kind of the whole offense.
I like the way he's, like, they working him into it.
Yeah.
You know, he could throw that thing down the field.
He can.
But they was like, you know what, they expecting that. Let's take what they give us. Let's move the ball up the field. Let's get some points, and let's get us a victory. The most important thing is getting a victory right now, because we can't be 0-4. That's Owen Wilson, Jesse Owens, 0-1, 0-2. We can't be 0-4.
That's good.
But you, at some point in time, you're going to have to get Juju involved.
Got to.
And Juju is finding out what it's like to be the number one, the guy that everybody builds their defense to try and stop.
Right. Mm. I think he'll adjust because Juju's a great kid. His spirit is right.
Right.
And by the way, you helped raise him as a football player. You
know, definitely. Well. With credit to his mother and his family and the great coaches. But like I say, he's a great kid. His spirit is right. Your spirit has to be right if you're on a football team, first and foremost, because you could be replaced at any time.
Right.
And when you see somebody making plays, you're
supposed to be happy for him.
Exactly. And I seen that when the guy did make a play, he went over there and talked to him. He got him right. But when he did make a play, he went over there and celebrated with him. Like, that's a spirited move right there. He's not jealous and he's not envious. It's a team sport.
How old was he when you got him first to coach him?
Man, he started in my league when he was about 9, 10 years old. Oof. We took him to Miami to a game, and he wasn't even a star. It was another kid that was a star, but he showed up that game, and we knew he had something.
John Ross was also in your league.
John Ross was a bad. Yeah. Now, he was a monster. He was fun to coach.
Always that fast?
Always the fastest. They used to check his birth certificate.
I mean, for real.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, man, that kid is not 10 years old. Yes, he is.
So how much have you missed Antonio Brown? In that offense.
I'm not going to lie. I missed him big plays. I really do, because A.B. could get it. He could get it. But at the same time, I want A.B. to get some help. And I'm going to say that because I mean it. I want A.B. to get some mental help, to get him some real help to go see somebody, just because I feel like he need that. And ain't nothing wrong with it. We in the black community sometimes feel like getting help is a bad thing. But I think it's a good thing. And I think that he's the perfect example. And if you look at Brandon Marshall, somebody who had mental issues, and how he cleaned his thing up, and how strong he looks talking on television. Like, it can happen. And I just want to see that happen for A.B., because I'm a friend of A.B., and I want to see him get his mind back right before he get his football skills back.
Have you been able to offer that advice to him?
Hopefully he's watching right now.
No, hopefully he is. Shannon has also suggested.
Yeah, it's just, the thing is, Snoop, and you can attest to this, when you get guys and guys surround themselves with people tell them that everything they do is right, that nothing they do is wrong, it's hard for them to hear anything else, because when they're on your payroll, if I were to tell you, Snoop, you wrong,
I'm going to stop paying you.
Exactly. I can't have that.
Now your job is in jeopardy with your emotions on telling me the truth.
Right.
And those are yes men.
Right.
So what you want to do is surround yourself with people that are better than you. That's what I was told. Like, I want to be the dumbest. I want to be the weakest whenever I'm around 10 people. Because if I am, oh, my God, it's going to be a great ending, because there's people around me that's better than me. I don't want to be the best in every situation that I'm in. Yeah, I want to be the best wide receiver, but outside of football, I need the best people in my life to make sure that I'm living my best life.
Right. So Ben Roethlisberger says he wants to come back next year and come back strong. And what do you expect? How much would he have left in that tank?
I mean, I look at Tom Brady. I look at Breeze, Rivers, Manning. I look at a lot of guys that's old. Some guys age differently. Some guys age like fine wine. Ben took a lot of hits. And that line, I don't know if the line can hold him up the way he used to be moving around taking those hits, but the way Randolph is moving around. What's his last name?
Rudolph.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Yeah. The way he moving around is a little bit different. It reminds you of how Ben used to be.
True.
Right.
And the game is speeding up. Them dudes on the other side is a little bit faster now. They like... They fast as us on this side.
And Pittsburgh said he's a little bit cheaper.
Oh, he is?
Rudolph, at the end of the day, it's about cost. It's about production and cost.
We ain't paying nobody.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Ben gonna find out the hard truth about the Steelers organization. When it's time to get that money, we don't pay nobody.
This was a critical year for Mike Tomlin. We're both big fans of his.
Yeah,
but the defense has suffered over the last 4 or 5 years and not been up to his standards. And he is the overseer of that defense. Do you see?
Isn't that on the line? Yeah. We can't even front. Yeah. I mean, it's just the elephant in the room. His neck is on the line. But he knows that because he's a great coach. He knows what's before him. But you can only do so much. You got to have your staff and then the players. To me, some of the staffing wasn't right. Like, he made bad decisions on picking OCs, DCs, like, come on, man. Like, and you can see the play calling when you get into the crucial situations. Like, what I love about football is I love how Belichick's defense ain't playing no games and how the Chiefs offensive coordinator ain't playing no games. That intensity has to be in your spirit or your coaching. I need to get points when I got the ball. I need to stop people when we on defense. If your defensive coordinator ain't pushing that spirit, your players don't play like that.
So speaking of Belichick, what are you seeing from Tom Brady so far this year?
He can do it again because he got help. And he's smart. He's a genius. Like, he knows that this is the game where we don't run. This is the game where we must pass. This is the game where we have to run. This is the game where I must involve my backs. This is the game where I got to involve the speedy guy, the smart. He's a genius. And I'm watching him on Instagram after the games. He on Instagram now. Oh, we 3-0 now. And Tom got swag, man. Don't get it.
Skip.
Please, believe it. He is a different monster
now. Has he earned a little swag?
No. You say you don't want your athletes on Instagram. That's what you
He's on there after every game.
After the game.
High definition.
I know.
His ain't regular. He ain't got no regular phone. His phone got, like, high definition.
Yeah, he got a real camera.
Edited.
he got a real camera.
He can be a little lame, a little cliche.
Yeah.
A little corny. Yeah,
it's
a little
fine.
Corny.
Not on the
I'm okay
ain't
with it.
Ain't corny about them championship rings.
That's correct.
Man, that trumps everything.
Yep.
But you see, Coach Belichick, I've always felt that Coach Belichick didn't get the credit he deserves because his defenses end up being outstanding. They keep, you know, all them yards, you don't win games with yards, you win games with points.
Right.
And when that rubber needs to meet the road, more times than not in crucial situations, his defense is going to keep you out of the end zone. If they need to keep you out of the end zone, you're going to get kept out of the end zone. Mm. If they need to keep you out of field goal range, you get kept out of the field goal range.
Look what happened with Buffalo. They was in the red zone. In the red zone, finna take the lead or something, and all of a sudden they just start going backwards. I'm like, uh-oh. Mm-hmm. The curse of Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
They just be in the right positions. Mm-hmm. Like, they in the DBs getting picks here and there. And like,
we could have took them to overtime if we playing quarterback in Buffalo.
Right. Mm. Real talk.
Because
there's also some real talk that Belichick's defense gave up 41 in the Super Bowl to
Stop
Nick
it.
Foles. To Nick Foles.
They was different, though. The Eagles was different. They had a... Alshon Jeffries.
Yeah, they did.
And but then they had Blunt, too. Wasn't Blunt on their team?
Yeah, Blunt.
Blunt
and a Jack. But don't let him fool you. See, he take an isolated situation.
Oh, one game?
He take one game.
The game?
But what about the Rams that scored 3 points?
Yeah, what happened to that high-powered offense?
Okay.
maybe that's Jared
Goff. I would expect way more than that.
Yeah. when he shut out in the Super Bowl, the Falcons didn't score a point in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
The Legion of Boom didn't score a point in the fourth quarter. Mm. Or the Jags only scored 3 points in the fourth quarter. Mm. See, he won't mention that. Mm. But he just want to talk about the one time or the first Super Bowl they won. The Rams with the MVP.
All time.
I'm going to give you something better than that. Since I've been a Steeler fan, I don't think we ever beat Belichick. And I'm being honest with you. I'm talking about it's been games. Why
definitely just, not the playoff you had.
No, definitely not that. I'm just saying in general, like, if we do win and he's injured or this happened, we just don't know how to beat him.
Okay, give me just a quick thought on my Dallas Cowboys. Make me feel a little better about what I saw Sunday night.
Don't make him feel better.
I don't know how y'all lost without Breeze being there first.
Yeah!
I lost money on y'all.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. I went with y'all, and I don't normally bet, but I was a bet man that night. And it just shocked me that,
thank you for your
that
support.
Zeke couldn't get off.
He couldn't get off.
Dak, the receivers,
and
I don't.
And you know if Zeke can't get off, Dak can't get off. You know that's new.
That can't
you
be.
You need to get off that.
Yeah.
It got to be if I don't, I will. It got to be complimentary. That's what it has to be.
Mm-hmm. Next question.
I feel like my next question, Snoop, you're the busiest guy in the business. Can you tell us about your new show, NFL The Grind?
Oh, NFL The Grind, I did a show with the NFL people just to get some conversations going with some of the athletes because I got a great relationship with them, and it's things that we talk about that are other than football. They're off-field, you know, things that they like to do, nonprofit, and things that they want to do as far as giving back to the community, because a lot of times you don't really see these players without their helmets off, and you just see them on the field, you just get one, you know, glimpse exactly of what they are, you don't know what they're really about. So I was able to do a show where I could get in there and see what this person is about, how he gets down, how he prepares for the game, what he does different before the game, after the game. It's just a beautiful show where me and the athletes can get a chance to, you know, insight with each other.
Mm, very cool.
You are
cool.
So busy. Love I don't know how you have time to do it all.
I love football.
I
really want a job like this, but nobody will hire me.
You're welcome anytime. No mercy. All right, last season, LeBron and the Lakers missed the playoffs by 11 games with the addition of Anthony Davis, though. LeBron is hoping things turn around. LeBron said this season the Lakers will play through AD, otherwise there would be no sense to have him on the floor. So, Snoop, what do you expect from the Lakers this season?
Playoffs. First step, playoffs.
Okay.
I was just telling somebody backstage, they was like, what you expect from the Lakers? I said, playoffs. I said, that's it? I said, no, that's not it. That's the first step. We ain't been to the playoffs in 6 years. So if we make the playoffs, then we can start to say, we're supposed to beat them. We can take them and we can get them in five.
Yeah.
But the playoffs is first and foremost because we haven't been in so long. I just feel like that should be the first goal. No matter what our position is, what our poll is, just get to the playoffs. And once we get there, then we fair game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm worried about opening night. I just want opening night. We're going to squash this because all this talk about Kawhi.
So we're going to meet in the parking lot before?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, me and you. All right, say that.
Then. Yeah.
Hello.
Say no more, fam. Say no more.
Yep.
Take flight.
You're going to just fuel up.
Yeah. Watch what after the game how Kawhi hair be looking. The brother LeBron done picked it out.
Yeah, and I'm not letting him use my hairstylist either for that particular game.
By the way, he got booed at the Rams game.
Supposed to.
He spoke, yeah.
Do you know what town this is?
Well, I
this
know.
This is a Laker town.
Okay, but I worked here back in the 70s, and nobody cared about the Clippers. You were
they still don't.
But again, at least they cared enough to boo him, so they see him as some potential threat. He's getting a lot
of
attention.
You know why they booed him? Because he didn't come play for us.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not about where he's playing at. It was like, boo, you set us up. You're supposed to come play for us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what that was. But they love him. They love him and they love Paul George. There's no doubt. We love our L.A. guys, but you're just playing for the wrong team.
Okay, I got it. So what do you expect from LeBron James after a little bit of a rocky first year?
I told you he wasn't going to be sorry long. LeBron don't like being on those sorry teams too long. I just knew that was going to happen. That's why I was loving the fact that it did happen early, because I would hate for us to have a great start off and then we go down here.
Yep.
A bad start off, we can't do nothing but come up. And then he made his acquisitions and went and got AD.
He went and got.
Yeah, like he was supposed to. You hear me?
Yeah.
And put a few more pieces to the puzzle. That green guy that can shoot that three.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? JaVale brought him back.
Yeah.
You understand me? Go get Bradley on the lockup. Yeah. Go get Cook. Go get Dudley. Go get And before you know it, we got a stacked team right now. We ready.
And what I tell people, when you look at AD, you can go in the draft this year and for the next 5 years, get you a Alonzo Ball, get you a Brandon Ingram. ADs, guys don't come every other year.
They do not.
A 25, 12, and 12 and 2, they don't fall off the tree.
Mm-mm.
And to pair him with GOAT James,
and he ain't never won nothing. See, he's
hungry.
He wants some Campbell's soup. He wants some crackers, Kool-Aid, cornflakes. He wants anything.
Yeah.
He ready to eat like Zeke used to eat.
Yeah, everything used to eat.
Like but I'm going to warn both of you, he's never been in this spotlight before because it was a little quiet down there in Norwich.
True indeed.
Right?
True indeed.
And
didn't he go to Kentucky?
Yeah. He knows that spotlight, but he was surrounded by a lot of
five stars. He was the five plus star.
Well, he was surrounded by a 10 star.
Now.
Okay. This is a big stage playing opposite a big guy.
Well, they say this is a big, rich town.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it is.
Yeah.
And this is a whole new world for him. And LeBron has heaped pressure on his shoulders saying, we're going through him. We didn't go get him not to play through that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be a little careful with LeBron because he is the master of media manipulation, because LeBron doesn't want to go into year 17 with all the pressure and expectation on his shoulders, because I don't know that his shoulders in year 17 can bear up under all that much pressure. So he needs the load shared, if not the burden, the bulk of the burden on AD's shoulders.
Well, the NBA has progressed to that. Where it's about load share. It's no more individual, you know, players that just run the league and win it all.
There was only one of those.
Yeah.
That was.
Who was that?
Yeah, that was that guy.
Oh, so Scottie, he tried to say Scottie Pippen was a bum.
Oh, that's a lie.
He cares.
That's a whole lie.
Was
you there game one when they first went to the championship against the Lakers and Magic then was putting that thing on them?
Mm-hmm. Magic put a trick. He guarded Magic and Magic
and
put
they,
a trick.
And they said, timeout. We got to put 33 on 32 because you can't handle 23.
Magic put
I ain't that young.
Magic put a triple dub on him.
No.
Magic put a triple dub on him.
I was there, man. I watched the game. You dig?
You remember that, Skip? Like it was yesterday.
I was there covering that team in 1998. And trust me, 23 carried, what was Scotty's number? I can't even
remember. You said 98.
I know.
We're talking about
first
one.
You're back to the first one.
Yeah, when it all started, when we was old. That's when we had... well, we was old. I don't even want to talk about it.
Magic.
My boy.
They were a little old.
Jordan carried Pippen right into the top 50. He did not belong there in and of himself. And once he left and went to Houston and Portland, he was just another guy.
And once Jordan put that 45 on, he was just another guy.
Okay, but that you mean in...
When he first came back.
Oh, when he came
and
back.
And when he went to Washington, he was just another guy.
Well, that was 3 years after.
I don't care. He was just and to me, he ain't the greatest basketball player in the world.
You know, I can't fight Snoop.
It's Kareem, Magic. Then we'll work our way to Jordan.
I got it. But Snoop freestyled about me. I give up. I'm out. I can never be mad at my drip, baby. I cannot fight.
Drip.
I mean,
okay.
Just move
on from there? So let's just assume that the Lakers are the favorite.
Okay.
Who is the biggest threat? Is it the Clippers? Is it still Golden State? Is it the Rockets? Who is it?
I think the biggest threat is definitely the Clippers because they got a great coach.
They do.
They was already good. Don't get it messed up. They was a game or two away from doing something. Beverly didn't really have no help. He had the spirit and all that.
He does.
Now he got George and Kawhi. They definitely a threat.
They could lock it down.
They could.
Montrez
is serious coming up.
I mean, I like their defense and them Doc. Oof. Remember their coach. Doc is a specialist.
He is.
And they love playing for him.
And he got Sweet Lou come light you up off the
bench. Man, they got him too. I thought they was going to let him go.
Nah, you know, Sweet. The Lakers let him go.
They did.
Man.
And then they let Big Zoo.
He over there too?
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but those are magic moves.
We're going to talk about Magic. Magic the greatest, one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
He can fumble. He can fumble twice. It's okay.
Magic cool with me.
Yeah. So what do you think about Westbrook and Harden pairing up?
I like
that. Anything come from it?
I like that. I really like that because I think they genuinely love each other.
I agree.
As opposed to, I'm going to play with you because we're from L.A. and no, they love each other. Like, you know that their relationship is really real. So they'll really play for each other. And there's things that I seen last year with Chris Paul and Harden. There was certain plays when Harden had the ball and when Chris Paul had the ball, it was like, I'm not energized. And there was certain plays that they took off. Well, not Paul, but Harden took off. Mm-hmm. When he had the ball, it's like he was uninterested. Like, but I don't think that's going to happen with Russell. I think they're going to both be happy to see each other score and happy to see each other play together.
Did you see the video last night? It was the Shanghai Sharks at Houston.
Oh, yeah.
Exhibition
Who was the
game.
Sharks they was playing?
I don't know if that's what they were doing. But
my homie was like, man, the Rockets play the Sharks. I'm like, oh, that's a WNBA game. He's like, I said, you talking about the Sparks? He said, no, the Sharks. I'm like, then I seen the highlights. I'm like, this is the team the Globetrotters used to play.
He invented a new shot. That the one step,
and it didn't go in.
No, and Russ came up off the bench like this.
But you see that?
I know he was like
that. That's what I'm telling you about that. That right there.
Yeah.
Happy for him.
Yeah.
That means it all. The spirit. If your spirit
is right. Paul was happy at first until he started playing with him and James started hauling the ball.
He's on the bench talking. Said,
and then James started doing this. Chris like, I'm open.
Not yet.
Nah, I'm good.
Five.
Okay,
four.
What's left at Golden State? Any threat there?
They still Golden State. They still Golden State. Don't you dare sleep on them. And see, that's when they could be the most vital is when you're sleeping on them.
Mm-hmm.
They still got them three monsters, man.
Yeah.
They do.
Curry, Clay, and Draymond.
They say Clay will be back mid-season.
They say they're reevaluating him at the All-Star, after the All-Star. Okay.
But D'Angelo Russell can fill in. He can fill in.
Okay. Draymond, they'll be a factor. No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Yesterday, California Governor Gavin Newsom signed the Fair Pay to Play Act with LeBron on his HBO show, Uninterrupted, The Shop. The bill will allow collegiate athletes in California to earn money from their likeness and image, but not directly from schools themselves. So, Snoop, how much impact will this have, in your opinion?
I think it'll have a lot of impact, and it's so overdue, and I'm so happy for people like LeBron James and his team for bringing this to attention because the NCAA has been playing games for too many years. They've been robbing the kids, they've been cheating them, they've been selling their jerseys, they've been stealing their likeness and feeding them muscle milk and peanut butter sandwiches. And I know this for a fact because I got 5-star kids that went to college programs and this is what they was dealing with, and I would try to give them money to get food. No, coach, you can't. I don't want to be in violation. I try to get them clothes. No, coach, you can't because I'm going to be in violation. I never understood why I couldn't do anything to help the kids out, and they mama's sitting at home struggling in a 1-bedroom apartment, can't come to the games, can't barely see the games, can't even eat. and the kids' jerseys are selling like crazy. So this is a great step. I'm happy that California's the first one to do it because I'm finna go spread the gospel. I'm finna go in and get some of this licensing endorsement deals with some of these kids. So all you kids that need to get your money right, holler at Coach Snoop so I can help you get paid. You understand what I'm saying? 2023, that is, though.
So you have kids at USC and UCLA, and you will advise them to do what?
I would advise them to, first of all, take up a business class.
Yep.
To understand what business is and finances, because now you're going to start making finances and then take on different classes and courses that can help you position yourself for endorsements, for sponsorship deals. You may become an agent, you never know, but it's things that you can take in school to better yourself, to prepare yourself for that, and now you'll be paid for it as opposed to them paying, being paid off of you. Like when they sign a big deal with Nike, Adidas, the school gets hundreds and hundreds of millions. Athletes gets no money, but his jersey sells. May not have his name on the back, but you know who that jersey belongs to because that number is connected to this athlete. So he should be paid off of that.
You're right. It's long overdue. And look, I'm not trying. I would never minimize the value of an education because it's been proven.
Sure.
the people with college degrees make more than people without. But as a former athlete going, a 4-year education doesn't do my grandmother any good if she can't pay the phone bill or the light bill. Mm-hmm. I remember my sophomore year calling home a collect call, and the operator collect call from Shannon to Mary Porter. Will you accept? My grandmother says no, because I can't pay this $50 phone bill I got now, and hung the phone up.
Yeah.
Well, what good is a 4-year education gonna do me if my grandma can't pay the bill?
Mm.
What good education we can't eat, Skip? Mm-hmm. That doesn't do me any good now.
No.
Okay, yeah, my name is not on the back of the jersey in Savannah State, that's a different situation, but we know who number 13 is at Alabama.
Right.
Tua might not be on the back, Tagovailoa might not be on the back of that jersey, but we know who number 13 is.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing in Oklahoma. We know what number, who number one represents, who it is.
Yep. Yep.
So give them an opportunity, the image and likeness. Well, you'll get a great education, but what happens if I get hurt and then that scholarship is gone?
Mm-hmm.
Then what?
Yep.
If I ain't got no money to pay my light bill or my phone bill, my mom damn sure ain't got no money to pay for no $50,000 a year education.
But I got some players that graduated with a college degree and can't get a job. So a college degree don't guarantee you a job.
Exactly.
And they were 5-star athletes. They jersey sold like crazy. They were the talk of the town. And the university don't even let them on campus now. So it's just that, like I have a certain feeling towards the NCAA because I don't know who they are.
Right.
It's a hidden hand.
Do any of those kids get hurt?
No.
Like wreck their career, their NFL career or their NBA career?
No, they probably did some things that they should have did in the NFL, but as far as like physically, no, they didn't. But as far as financially preparing themselves, if there would have been something like this in place to where they could have made money while they were, jerseys were selling like crazy. Mm-hmm. And then there's some kids that when they leave the university, they still can go back and sell their jersey. It doesn't have the school logo, but it's the same color scheme, same number. It's my jersey, now I can make money off
of
it.
Good point, right. Yep. Look, I've had my issues occasionally with LeBron on the court, but off the court, he has revolutionized the way athletes do business and create impact socially and financially.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing like him. He has changed the athletic world.
Yes.
In good way, all good ways, all positive, forward-thinking, eye-opening ways. He's changed athletic life for a lot of these kids.
Yes.
And I applaud him for getting behind this.
Definitely.
Gavin Newsom getting behind this. But it started with that guy on that show.
Skipper, you see the platform. You see he started Uninterrupted.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you see Kevin Durant got Boardroom.
Right.
Yep.
You see he started a production company. Steph Curry has a production company.
Right.
You see LeBron James, when he leaves Cleveland and goes to Miami, he was the first big, well, not the first, Shaq left. Mm-hmm. But in the free agency, as we know it now, the first guy says, you know what? I ain't got to be loyal to the soil.
Mm-mm.
I'm going to move. This notion that, oh, you can't move. I mean, Larry never left. Right. Magic never left.
Right.
Michael would have never left.
Right.
Bron said, bull jive. And once Bron broke free.
He broke free.
KD.
I want to go where I want to go. Not like Kawhi. Y'all not going to send me to a country and think I ain't going to win. Then I'm going to backslap y'all with this championship and shake, rattle, and roll on the way out.
Right.
He did.
So he's given, especially in basketball, because obviously football is unlike that, because ain't nobody getting out.
It's coming, though.
We'll see what they do in the CBA in 2021.
Because I'm watching the move now. Like, players say, I want to be here. They making a minor adjustment.
They trying. Mm-hmm. They trying. But see, basketball is different because it's a superstar-driven league.
Right.
The NFL is different. It's a team league. It's the uniform.
Right.
It's the star. It ain't no player in that uniform. Mm-hmm. Dak can be Dak all he wants.
He ain't bigger than that star.
He ain't bigger than the star, Skipper.
No.
Yeah. No matter who comes in, he ain't bigger than that black and gold in Pittsburgh. No. And that's the difference.
Right.
But LeBron James has been unbelievable.
He has. And I also want to applaud his man, Maverick Carter, because he's a visionary.
Yes.
And we talked earlier about AB surrounding yourself with the wrong people.
Great people.
LeBron, all great. All studs in their own way. Yes. All forward thinkers, great thinkers. And LeBron got all the right advice from the people he trusted from home.
But LeBron empowered them.
Yes,
by saying, here, figure out your lane, be great at it, mm-hmm. and once you do, that's your job and your lane.
Exactly.
He didn't give them nothing.
He didn't give them nothing. Wow. He's like, hey, I trust you guys, but you're going to have to earn your keep.
Yes.
He gave them an opportunity.
Yeah.
And they went to work.
No. Maverick says, okay, Maverick, I'm over here.
Rich Paul, they went
Rich
to work.
Rich says, okay, I'm over here. Man. Randy says, okay, this is my lane.
Shh. Man, to me, Magic Johnson personified business outside of basketball.
Yes.
Yeah. LeBron James put business, intellect, thought, future, forward thinking, all of the above. He grabbed a baton from Magic Johnson and he running with it, and it's a beautiful thing.
The thing that he did is that he encompasses Jordan and Magic.
Yes, Lord.
Jordan was just the shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Magic was business.
Yes, sir.
LeBron says, I can do shoes, I can do business, and I can be Muhammad Ali and talk about social media.
Talk about it. Yeah.
He said, I can encapsulate it all.
Talk about it.
While still being great.
Come on now, you sound like you're preaching now, Shannon. You finna make me put something in your pot. Hold on now.
What you got with your boy?
Hold on. You're preaching now, Skip. Take that.
Wonder where the gift drip. Was.
Take that drip, baby. It matches your outfit. Put it on.
Please put it on.
Bang, look at him. Look at the dripper. Look at the dripper. Lord have mercy.
Every day. I'll steal some of Shannon.
Yeah,
it's all good.
Now you know
it's
we got some.
We got that fire here.
You like it?
The dripper.
I mean,
look at the dripper.
I like it.
I'm dripping over here.
I can't even. Shannon.
What do we
don't
got?
Have to share to the world.
Uh-oh, you restocked now.
That LA Kush. You know, the Lakers going back to that thing, man.
Mm. We got the pounds over here.
Okay. Look at me, LBS.
Is this going to be a part of the Friday?
That's that
look?
Drip, boy.
It
you
might.
Sure?
It just might.
Yeah.
I tell you, Drip,
you.
This is ensemble,
this
is man.
Skip, they said it's bubblegum cookie, but it's
that Laker, man.
You better not chew on there too long.
Yeah. Snoop, we do appreciate
boy, you
it.
Man, I love we this love show, man. This is one of my favorite shows to watch every morning. I love being a part of it. I don't mind getting up to be on it. Anytime y'all need me to come talk some sports talk, when my team is winning, losing, or if we're drawing, it don't matter. I'm here for you.
Well, a lot of times I need you to sit over there.
Snoop, thank
good
you.
Good looking gift.
Thank you for
give
the
you
Drip Bayless.
Hug.
You just made his day.
Drip,
the best
drip.
Day in undisputed history.
Hey, he didn't drop a drip or drip or drop. This is Drip Bayless, baby. Yep. Pay attention.
All right, Snoop, you're welcome anytime.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.